a call-on train. Oh, the restless waves send the light, send the light.
Welcome to the ministry of Reverend Leslie and Margaret Buckner, which is brought to you every week at this time by Pastor Sharon Glure and the congregation of the Bible Way Gospel Lighthouse of Cadet, Missouri. We pray you will be blessed and challenged by this important message for God's people. And now, here is Reverend Leslie and Margaret Buckner.
Blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and there he got a lesson there. He had spun out a vessel there, and it was defective. And he had to take it and wad it back up, slam it on the ground, and then reform that. So how many knows that sometimes we have to reform ourselves? There's a lot of folks that goes to church that needs to be reformed, redone. But somehow or other, they got defected somewhere or other. And then this here other was to broken things. And I began to think, well, what all are we to repair that's broken? And then I remembered Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How many ever thought about many people are brokenhearted? All's the matter with them, they're brokenhearted. Somebody said they've done it to themselves, don't make any difference, they're brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. So here's the first one that he gave me was, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I got to thinking, well, I've spent 55 years binding up brokenhearted and reforming others and keeping myself reformed every now and then. How many knows we have to go through a process of renewal every now and then? That's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be like them, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. I want to get that word formed in there. God formed the earth. And then he said, let there be light. There was light. So I begin to think about some things that can be broken. How many knows some people that's just broken? I mean, just absolutely broken. How many knows families that's broken? Husbands and wives broken apart. The minister's job is to repair the broken thing and to reform the imperfect clay. I have spent much of my time, as I said, and life repairing and reforming lives. When anything's like a vessel is broken, they've got something that they can repair it with now. I've seen my wife working on something today. I don't know if she got it repaired or not, but that goes along with the message. How many ever heard of super glue? The super glue. They never could get glass vessels to stay together and everything, but now you could put super glue on them and they'll hold right in there. The broken has been repaired. How many knows there's a super glue in the Christian walk? That's called faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these are charity. These are the super glue. This is the ending of Paul's talk in the Corinthians there. The super glue that puts things back together. The super glue. Love, faith, hope, and charity. The things that's broken are families, nations. Look in the Far East. All those nations are broken apart. Families are scattered. 5,000 people sitting out there in the cold, under tents, little babies around. Things are broken. This world is broken up, broken all to pieces. Everywhere I look, since I got that, I feel something's broken that we need to get a hold of and begin to repair it. And it's the church's job to help the ministry do these things. What is the church there for? It's not there to sit in the pew and judge what the preacher's preaching. They're there to help mend something that's broken. They're there to help reform something that's marred, something that's not just right. Help reform that. We're all supposed to be teachers. So put the broken pieces together. So it's a job, and so many things that we're talking about can be broken. Let's just take a few more of them here. The brokenhearted, the broken spirit. How many know there's a broken spirit? We'll get into that in just a minute. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God, the power to mend broken things. So there's broken vows. How many thinks that some people may have broken vows in church? Sitting around the church and got broken vows. They vowed that they'd be faithful to God when they got saved. They'd be to church every time the door was open. They would pray. They were so happy they vowed that they'd support the church. They vowed and they vowed and they vowed. Well, The Bible teaches us that if a man makes a vow unto God, God will what? Require him to keep it. Just think of all the vows that's broken. Just think about our politics here in this country. Our country is broken. It's broken in pieces. It's in a terrible shape, and people doesn't see it, but it's broken. And all these politicians made this vow and that vow and that vow and that vow. Are they going to keep their vows? No, they're already crawfishing right now. They're easing in with this side and with that side. If it was wrong one time, it's still wrong. They made a vow and they don't keep it. And that's what's the matter with our nation, making vows and not keeping through the political realm. Broken things, especially the brokenhearted, is what we're dealing with. The broken vows and other different things, so many things that might be broken. Marriage vow. That's a plague in our country today. Breaking the marriage vow. Christians breaking the vows to God. Financial vow. When I go down to the bank and I buy a house and I buy a car and I finance it there and they check my credit and everything, I make a vow and I sign a paper that I'm going to pay that and pay it on time. I won't be 20 days or 30 days late every time. They have to send me a second statement. I made a vow I'd pay it on time. Huh? That's a vow. See, so many people have so many vows that they've broken, and God is dealing with us. People makes a vow to be faithful in things. And all these things about church, and all these things that we're talking about, financial vow, that's a vow, regardless of what it is. What is it that causes a person to have a broken spirit? So let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs 15 and verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That's what it says. Correction. Did you know hardly anybody likes correction anymore? The children in the homes, they won't be corrected. They'll overrule their parents. People in church used to love corrective messages. I remember when you'd preach hell hot and preach a hard sermon, and people with tears streaming down their face come to you after service and say, that message really got a hold of me. Amen. You know why? Because they love correction. We need to love correction. Now, before you'll ever make a good minister, you'll have to love correction, because God is continuously correcting the minister, and one thing he requires for us to have is wisdom. Wisdom is the excellency of knowledge. If we've got all the knowledge in the world and we don't have wisdom, we don't know how to handle that knowledge. If you've got a gift of the Spirit, and you've got a good gift of the Spirit, maybe it's a gift of prophecy, a gift of laying on of hands, but if you don't have wisdom to know how to use it, it won't work right. And wisdom requires patience. You know, something I know sometimes in the church, and something I know that needs to be done, and I want to do it right then, but God in his wisdom said, don't do it. You got to wait a while. Wisdom is the principal thing. So correction should be loved. We should make a vow, whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. And if we don't do it, he'll correct us. And we don't spat back at God, we just do it. Correction is not grievous. Correction is good for us. Verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Now a scorner, he'll not love the one that reproves him, and he'll neither go to the wise, to those that have wisdom. Verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Look at that. What is it that causes broken spirits? You know, I've got people that come to me all the time and say, Brother Buckner, what's the matter? There's hardly a church in Sullivan that's got the Spirit in it anymore. Well, don't think that's strange, because there's hardly a church anywhere that's got it in it anymore. You know why? Because the Spirit is broken. People have broke the Spirit of God. How did they break the Spirit of God? A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Now, if our spirit's not broken, we come to church. Hallelujah. And if we're not, we'll say, I don't know if I'm going to go tonight or not. It's pretty cold out there. Well, it was cold all day, and they was out there splitting around. Them's excuses. So listen what he said. A merry heart, we're glad when church starts. We're glad we're going to have church. We're glad when prayer time comes. We're glad when we sit down and begin to read the Bible and we begin to rejoice in it. We're glad for these things. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to loose them that are in prison, and to set the captive free. So a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But there's something else. But by sorrow of the heart. What is sorrow of the heart? You know, lots of folks don't have nothing but sorrow in their heart. How many knows from the abundance of the heart, the Bible teaches us, from the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. Whatever comes out of our mouth is what we've got in our heart. If we're down in the dumps, he's asking, how are you today? Everything's going wrong today. A sorrowful heart does what? Listen to what it says. Let's read that again. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is what? Is broken. God just spoke to me today and said there's families and there's churches and our entire nation, and there's churches and there's people everywhere because they have sorrow of the heart, the spirit's broken. You know when our spirit is broken. I don't know if any of you ever had anything to do with training mules and horses, but my family done those kind of things back years ago. They trained mules. And they'd train horses. And the one thing that you had to do to train them, you had to teach him to work and be corrected, but don't break his spirit. Leave that spirit in there, but get him where he uses it for good instead of to jump up and down and kick. Get him where he uses that spirit to pull the load what you intend for him to do. And you reward him every now and then for being a good mule to pull and everything. Mule's the hardest one, you know. You've heard of being mule-headed, haven't you? That a mule's a hard one to train. But you don't break his spirit. But here's what breaks the spirit here in a man, by a sorrow in the heart. The spirit is broken. Now you go into a church, and even this one here, it could use a whole lot more of the spirit. And it could use a lot less of sorrows in the heart. Huh? How many knows that this whole community could use a lot of this? You know, sorrow in the heart breaks the spirit. But if you've not got sorrow in the heart and your spirit is not broken, that spirit that's in you will come forth shouting. It will come forth with power. It'll come forth with glory. It'll come forth with the things that we need if that spirit is not broken. But if that spirit's broken, we're just sitting there. You know, people that used to shout never shout anymore. People that used to speak in tongues don't speak in tongues anymore. People that rejoice don't rejoice anymore. What do you think about that? That's what God was telling me. He said, you've spent your whole life dealing with things that's broken, dealing with things that need to be reformed that were marred. And I begin to think of how many people do you think that's come to this ministry and received deliverance from a broken heart? I couldn't tell. What is it when you go to a place to preach and there's 300 or 400 people that's gathered there, maybe 200, and they're sad looking, and you preach a night or two and get some good music going, the power of God coming down, and they begin to get a merry heart, and the next thing you know, they don't have a broken spirit anymore. They got the spirit of God. They got the spirit of power. They got the spirit of love. And they got the spirit of joy, and they got the spirit of a sound mind. That makes you feel good. That makes you know that you have put something together. If there is anything that would help every Christian ever sitting here tonight, is to win a soul. Somebody that's just been through everything in the world, and they're broken, their spirit's broken, everything's broken. They've broken vows, and they've broken this, and everything's broken in their life. But somehow or other, that's what Jesus deals with. He deals with them that are broken. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to loose them that are in prison, to set the captive free. That's what the job is of the church, not just the preacher. Preacher's just the leader. But what is it that causes the spirit to flee and the spirit to be broken? You know, when a person's spirit's not broken, I don't care what comes along. They'll get in there like that old mule and they'll pull. I was skidding logs one day for a friend of mine about 40-some years ago. I was in the ministry at that time. He wanted me to help him out with his sawmill a few days. It was Gerald Almonds who it was. And he said, I skid logs, and I had an old mule. And he cut a log down, and I thought, that mule will never skid that log. He can't even budge. But I backed him up again, that log. I'll tell you, it was a big, I mean a big log. And I backed that old mule up there. He was an ornery old mule. He'd tangle up the things if he could, but he's also knowed how to pull when he had to. He knowed how to move that log. I said, get up. And he first just braced himself and began to pull. And then he began to do this. I didn't have to tell him. He already knew this because his spirit wasn't broken. He began to go this way with it. And it rolled the log a little. And then he went this way. And he got it going. And then he just pulled that log right on that. I said, I never would have believed that mule could have even moved that log. But his spirit wasn't broken. Our spirits sometimes are broken because we sit around with the woes and the ohs and the ouchies and the grouchies and all these kind of things. And that's not what God wants. He don't want our spirit broken. He wants us to get right down to business and move the load. Huh? I've seen God do something that, you know, I wouldn't have believed it but if I didn't see it. Huh? I had some times here just the last year. I had to move something. I had to have God move in my life, right here, in my knee. They're getting stronger and better every day. Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go back here just again here. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. That makes me weep every time I read that. Every time I read it, the spirit is broken. That's a sad place to be when our spirit's broken. We just don't have the spirit to do anything anymore. I know people that just sits around, don't have no spirit to do anything, just sit around and take pills all the time. They got to have a pill to go to bed with, and a pill to get up in the morning, a pill to keep them going during the day, and their spirit's broken, and they're dependent upon the Xanax and whatever it is, that other kind of stuff, you know, to keep them going. That's not the spirit. Come on. That's something that we don't need. That's something that will break us. It'll give you a sorrow heart. How many times have we had to pray for people that's bound on some of these kind of things? Their spirit is broken. Now, let's go back to verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. You ever see people just carry on foolishness all the time? Looks like they're happy, but not really. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I like that. I bet like it. He that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. He's going around rejoicing while everybody else is all lost their spirit and lost everything, and you got this all in your heart, and you just continually feast on it. Somebody says, you can't do this, you can't do that. But you say, God can, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, Paul said. Let's look at it at a broad base. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. It's continual. He's constantly feasting upon the things of God. What does it say? Turn your Bible to Psalms 1 again. Let's go back there and let's look at that. Psalms 1, verse 1. This is a continual feast. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. That is a continual feast. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a continual feast. He's continually hooked in, into the water, into the soil, into God. He's got everything going. Let me say this too. He's not divided or broken. He's got one spirit. How many knows that we can't have a dozen spirits? We've got to have one spirit. And that's got to be God's. Let this mind dwell in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's go a little further. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Now, it's better to have little of the things, this world and all those kind of things, better to have little with fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and trouble therewith. Now, the fear of the Lord, let's talk about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of wisdom. There's that word wisdom again. I'll tell you what, wisdom is a great subject to get off on. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Now, it's talking about here, better is a little with fear of the Lord. Now, if we fear the Lord and keep what? What Solomon say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is what? The whole duty of man. Godly fear. It's better to have a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, a lot of folks have got great treasure and a whole lot of trouble. Some of them don't have much treasure, but they got a whole lot of joy. Some of the things that's broken is, we'll read them again, broken people, number one. If I've got a broken spirit, I'm broken. Broken families, broken nations. Then there's another one I didn't mention a while ago, broken relationship. Now, you can't mend and you can't put back together everything that's broken because some of the pieces just won't fit. But that's when you have to file down the piece to fit. Now, lots of folks think this, that you have to adjust the church to meet people's needs. No, you adjust the people that's broken to be quality in church. The super glue, it's like the love is super, faith is super, and hope is super. These three, now by the faith, hope, and charity, these three, the greatest of these is charity.
Tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless days. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise.
Thank you for listening to this weekly broadcast, which is sponsored by Pastor Sharon Glure and the congregation of Bible Way Gospel Lighthouse. The Bible Way Gospel Lighthouse of Cadet, Missouri is located 2 miles on Highway E, east of the Highway 21 and Highway E Junction. For more information about service times, you may contact Pastor Sharon Glure at 573-438-8554. You are invited and welcome to attend services at the Bible Way Gospel Lighthouse. We pray that this message has blessed and encouraged you today. Tune in next week at this time for another inspiring message from God's Word. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.